Balcone's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. So, man, last week I sound like a psychopath, and we addressed that this episode. So, our guests today are Charlie McRae, the Balcone's South Texas manager, is what I'll say. Good friend, I've worked with him for the last few years, he's a great guy. And of course, welcome back, yet again, Mr. Todd Group. So I'll introduce them later. But man, so much to talk about. First and foremost, this episode is really about the Say Yes era and, of course, about an event that's happening this weekend with our good friends Balcone. So I'll go into more of the episode about what's happening, but essentially it's a distillery takeover. It's open to the public, but the Facebook groups are going to, from all over the great state of Texas, are going to meet right in the middle of it in Waco and take over the distillery to spend the entire day there drinking, sampling, tasting things, finding things. You can still get tickets on Eventbrite. Go to their Instagram account. Go to search Eventbrite. Search Texas Whiskey Summit or search for Balcone's. And go from there. If you still can't find it, go to Facebook and type in Texas Whiskey Summit. It's an event. It's going to be great. So I'll be there. I'll be there with my wife. We'll be able to take over the distillery, have a great time spending the day there, eating, drinking, being merry. One more thing before we get into this week's ads. A good friend of mine, Brant King, and his friend, AJ Paulson, have come up with a travel case for your whiskey. I was like, okay, well, I just usually just put it in a bottle limo, but maybe you've got something unique, and they do. So they sent me something. They're not a sponsor of the show. I am not taking money from them, but this is the large example. There are several sizes. The company's called Whiskey Wild. This son of a gun basically stores in perfect form, closed-sealed foam, two bottles, two glasses, two Glencairns. So if you do spill a little bit in here, it's not going to go bad. But yeah, as you see there, a little bottle of William LaRue Weller. Say that five times fast. A couple of Glencairns. And they did some stress tests recently where they ran over it with a car and they were fine. So I check out whiskeywild.com, whiskey with the E, wild, W-Y-L-D. Search for them on Facebook. You can find them if you want to. They're on Instagram, and you can pick up your cases. They're pretty neat things. I'm very happy with it. So this week's show is, as always, sponsored by Turlato Distill Artisan Spirits, leader in premium artisan products like Bunahabin, Deanston, Lecheg, Tobermory, Baines, Black Bottle, and, of course, Scottish Leader. Say it with me, folks. You can pick up your entire line. Pick up the entire line at your local liquor store. If you are a retailer, reach out to your United Wine and Spirits rep. Lastly, Glass Rev Imports. Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits and our friends over at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exacting standards of Scotch. Amroot Fusion also received the Double Gold Blind and scored a jaw-dropping 96 points by judges at the Proof Awards. Amroot single malt whiskey is widely available across America and can be found almost everywhere in the great state of Texas. Go out and get a bottle today. My bag is literally full of Amroot bottles. I paid for them long before they were sponsors. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of wine finished scotches. I'm a fan of Amroot, and they will be sending us some samples that they just picked up from the distillery in India for us to taste on the show to pick out a very special hand-selected cask on the show, maybe with a decent name. We've got some things lined up. I've been talking to you about it for a few weeks. Some pretty cool names we're working on for the great month of March. So There is one thing I want to go ahead and mention on this episode, just to be clear. At times, I have stickened my foot in my mouth and throughout my life. And from that has come a few stories that are pretty hilarious, pretty cringeworthy, pretty awkward. I mean, my wife's first kiss when we were dating was just so god-awful that she thought for sure it was not going to work out. I literally had to convince her to give me a second shot. So that is the glory of my life, is these great funny stories that are, oof, you know, how are you so, I think I'm pretty well-rounded, right? So in this episode, we talk about a story that involves a pretty touchy subject. I want to be sure that you understand I am not making fun of the subject, but instead making fun of me and how I stickened my foot in my mouth one time in particular. So I want to make sure you understand that I'm not making fun of this subject, but when things are so awkward, sometimes you laugh. So without further ado, it's been 7 minutes. Without further ado, my friend Todd Grube and my other friend Charlie McRae. Let's talk whiskey. Cheers.
Start off by tickling each other.
Yeah.
It just starts it off like...
Sure. This week I am joined by Balcones Houston. What's your Houston Balcones Distillery rep?
Yeah, it's actually now South and Central Texas
manager. Awesome. Yeah. So South and Central Texas manager for Balcones, and proof that Carrot Top would have looked better without the plastic surgery. Charlie McRae, how are you doing, my friend?
Great, man. Good to see you.
And of course, our longtime returning guest and Dax Shepard's uglier younger brother, Todd Grube.
I always get the DAC, but you know, at least my father loves me.
Dude, if you watched last week's episode, oh man, the only thing I wish is Jack was laughing off camera, but he was stifling his laugh, so when I laughed extra hard right into the mic, it just sounds like I'm going maniacally crazy.
It does, dude. Last week, I can hear the pain is what it sounded like.
Well, and at one point I'm like covering my face, but only because I spit bourbon up, but you can't quite see us bit bourbon up, so it looks like I'm about to cry on camera, and I wasn't gonna cry. I was laughing because he was laughing off camera, but I think it's funnier if they could hear it in the background,
right?
You know, it adds to the, you know, the what do they call it, than the old sitcoms back in the day, a live studio
track,
audience.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But no, I was totally fine. I wasn't gonna cry, but until now, that was brutal.
I think I do see some tears.
Yeah, so. Well, I'm glad you guys are back. We've got a lot happening this weekend in the state of Texas. And I actually brought a few things for us to taste. I don't know if you can still hear me as I look down. But let's see here. I'll pull it out for the in a second here. But we are going to, this weekend in Waco at the Balcones Distillery, they're doing something that's essentially a giant whiskey summit. Mm. As time has gone on, we have quite a few listeners all over the place that I'm not sure if they're in these Facebook groups, but there are great local Facebook groups all over this great nation, and then some, and the community in Texas has just been off the charts the past couple of years. So this weekend in Waco at the Balcones Distillery, which is open to the public as well, we are doing a Texas Whiskey Club Summit. Mm-hmm. And that is where the idea, it's actually better than the execution on our part, but the idea was to bring together all of the most influential groups in the state of Texas, not as a way of saying we are better than this or better than that, but basically you've got all of these great, great communities all over the state of Texas that are doing their part to bring their respective community up and bring them together. So there's a great group in San Antonio, the Bourbon in San Antonio, BISA. Mm. Several in Austin, the DFW Whiskey Club, and of course, Someone Say Whiskey, all in that area. And of course, here in Houston, we have quite a few ourselves. I mean, the Houston Bourbon Society, Bourbon Hounds of Houston, Bad Wine Reviews, which is a national group, is also quite a few local people there as well. So this weekend, check it out. Balcones, go to Eventbrite. If you bought tickets to the Whiskey Social, we did our tickets to Eventbrite. Well, Balcones is also selling tickets to the event through Eventbrite. You can come visit. It's going to be insane. If there is one thing that I love to talk about in the last year or so, is the fact that brands are willing to say yes. Years ago, no brand even gave two craps about one-off projects or things that were too small if it didn't build the brand overall. But that's changed. Texas, in particular, folks like Iron Root, Lone Elm, Balcones, and even bigger brands now. Amroot is saying yes to things. Deanston, we pushing them to do new things. These are things that no one had the time for because they were so small in the bigger picture of things. And Balcones and Iron Root, they're willing to branch out. And, dude, we gave our Elijah Craig bourbon barrel to a local honeybee farmer to age some honey in it. I sent Jared an email. He's like, yeah, let's put something in it afterwards.
Yeah, man.
Like, we're in the age of yes. And I may call the episode that because that sounds pretty cool. The age of yes. But it's just a great time to get into this hobby right now. So, and of course, fans of Sam Heughan have been going, I don't want to say apeshit, respectfully, but crazy about Balcones. Dude. After that whole episode.
That's so huge, man.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have you guys here. I figured what we would do is we'd start off, have a few drinks, maybe start with our recent Smoky Mary pick that you brought.
Mm. Yeah.
Go ahead and pour. I'm going to pull a few things out here.
Take your glass.
Dude, yeah. I think this was like, out of the two that you guys did, thank you. This is probably my favorite one, man.
Well, I'm a big fan of the peated barrel, but it was so same. Small. So yeah. Small.
Yeah, same. I remember when we were up there, you know, on the second story, and we pulled this one, and just, I thought immediately, I was like, man, this is definitely the one that y'all should go with. Just that American oak just gives it so much character.
And this is the one that was in 12 5-gallon barrels?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Smoky Mary.
Married into one.
Yeah, so, and we've talked about this on the show, too, that for years, distilleries, as they were getting started in Texas, were aging in smaller barrels to kind of expedite the aging process. And a lot of distilleries have moved away from that, including Balcones, who have not only dropped their price, and this is not, look, they're sponsors of the show, this is not a sales pitch. But before you guys were sponsors of the show, I mentioned that you guys are aging in larger barrels, 60-gallon barrels, which is extremely, very much more expensive than a standard bourbon barrel.
Yeah.
As well as one of the few brands who've dropped your prices on almost everything. So it's something that, sometimes I get into arguments with people online where they're like, people will justify the higher price of a product by saying it's only to start out. They'll eventually drop it.
Yeah.
People laugh like, what company is going to charge less for what they can get more for?
Yeah,
there's plenty of examples. You guys, Whitmire's, I mean, several pretty prominent names in the industry have dropped prices.
Yeah, man, we got to the point where, you know, I think, and granted, I've been with Balcones for 3 years, so I've got a pretty specific scope as to, you know, what I can, the information that I can recall. But we got to a point, especially with, you know, TPSB, our new bourbon, where we're like, man, we want something like that's price friendly for a big group of people, specifically those that may, you know, shop $30 and under, you know, for whiskey, you know.
Sure.
And like, man, that's just a huge, huge market that we want to be able to reach, not because, you know, necessarily like, hey, it'd be a great way to make money, you know, but just, you know, I think Jared kind of hit the nail on the head when he explains, I know a lot of people who just can't drink our whiskey because, you know, it's priced at a certain, priced at a certain point. And so that's one of the big reasons why we've messed a lot with price structuring, with especially, you know, putting TPSB where it is, streamlining.
TPSB for those.
Texas Pot Still Bourbon, our new year-round. Well, new. It came out a year ago, but it's our year-round bourbon.
Not a special release, available year-round.
Available every day, all day.
And what's the price point on that?
Yeah, $29.99.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
freaking
approachable.
Killer. Yeah.
It's just been a great time to for these sorts of things that it wasn't like this before at all.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think we've done a good job too with especially Brimstone, Rumble, and True Blue. You know, there was such price fluctuation between retailers that we were like, guys, like, it makes sense just to streamline this price, you know, like $49.99.
Sure.
You know, for all these. So, yeah, man, we're excited that we've kind of gotten a concise point with all those. So, makes it easier on the consumer, which we're excited about.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. You want to open those doors. No, I just realized, oh, this is that one I poured, that Beam. Yeah, I thought this, also, I didn't want this to come off... I wanted to talk about this weekend, but didn't want it to come off as like a bit sales pitchy, too heavily leaning towards Balcones. We love Balcones. We talk about them all the time. So I did bring, I asked Todd to bring something unique. He just got a new bottle of Glendronach in. I bought an old 70s. I think it's 70s. It might be 60s. I'm going to look into it. It doesn't have, and here's a, and I don't know if I've said this on air, but this will be a fun tip. In the mid-80s, by the mid-80s, by 1985, most brands were using barcodes instead of tax strips. Some of them kept the tax strips because they liked the aesthetic, but it was like a faux tax strip. It didn't really serve that purpose. And then by, I believe, 1989, it was a government requirement to have the pregnancy warning on the back of, a Surgeon General's warning on the back of the product. So if you have a bottle of whiskey that has no barcode and no Surgeon General's warning, then it stands to reason it is pre-1985. Wild Turkey was one of the ones that kind of pioneered it early. I've got some 81, 82 that still has a barcode on it, which is pretty early.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'm willing to bet this is 70s based off the way the font looks in this. This whole thing screams 1970s infographic. But I'm going to look up the tax strip here and after we get off air and kind of age it. But it smells fantastic. I love these old Beam decanters. It's crazy what they would put in decanters back then because nobody would drink the product. So they would put it in literally everything, every porcelain shape they could find.
Yeah, that was like, what was it, vodka and all the clear spirits were getting so popular back in that time. And, you know, they're just kind of trying to market it however they could, get people excited about drinking whiskey.
I wish they'd bring it back.
I'm surprised it even says 6 years because, you know, Beam loves to do months.
Yeah, back then they were doing months, yeah.
But like the other night was 175 months. It's like, okay, at that point, it's like calling your child.
Really?
You're like, well, my kid's 28 months old.
In the 80s, in particular, when they were putting everything into canners, they would use months because it sounded like a higher number.
Yeah.
Right? Makes sense. And there was this belief that if you had an older bourbon, it was because no one wanted it. So if you sold a 10-year or 12-year-old bourbon, they were like, that's because that's the lesser stock that no one wanted.
Yeah.
If it was 8 to 10 years or, you know, 8 years, single digits, they're like, oh, 6 years, that's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now we've got the exact opposite because of scotch.
That's so funny. So,
yeah, so they would throw these into, like, you know, 100-month. I've got a 175-month one I brought to the bottle share the other day. And people just weren't reverse engineering the math.
Of, right.
You know, 12 months.
Into it's a simple
equation. Yeah, like, 175 months, that sounds amazing. Let's do it.
That's so funny.
Speaking what, like 15 years? Something like that?
Yeah,
close?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I don't know. I've already been drinking.
Dude, I've gotten in the last like few months just kind of not obsessed, but really
worked way better for you than it did for me when I poured mine.
It's gotta be patient with
it. I want to bring this up to the camera because of this like little, this cute little tiny flip thing.
Yeah, well, you so can funny. Just make sure you can see that it is still in focus.
Yeah. Well, I'll try. All right, let's ready zoom.
Todd here is trying to showcase a bowling pin-shaped 6-year-old bottle of Beam.
So cool.
It only took about 5 minutes to figure out how to pour from it.
Yeah. I was over there trying to scratch off a sticker that had nothing to do with the pour stuff. Yeah, we had a great time this weekend. We so the oldest, you know, before the great Facebook groups all over the world, there were, and still are, many, many whiskey clubs that meet in person. The oldest one in Houston is a group called the Gulf Coast Bourbon Maniacs, which is funny. They didn't really, and Wade can correct me if I'm wrong, although he's not going to watch this. I don't believe that name was created until recently. They were just getting together, the same group of people, every year out of tradition. And it wasn't until his pick that he did, Party Never Ends, Knob Creek, which was 2015, that he was like, or it may have arrived 2016, but he was like, they had to put a name on the bottle. Mm-hmm. So he came up with Gulf Coast Bourbon Maniacs. But Randy Blank was on the show, the guy that pioneered the consumer single barrel, mm-hmm. meaning that most single barrels for these really, really famous brands were going through restaurants and bars and hotels for many, many years. And this guy in 2002 decided he would approach an unknown bottler by the name of Pappy Van Winkle and buy an entire barrel of the stuff. Yeesh. So he bought
Lot B.
Entire barrel of Lot B for $30-something a bottle. Gosh. And thought that he would never run out and was giving it away like it was nothing. And then the bourbon boom happened. So Randy Blank, we met at his house.
Van Blankel.
Had a bunch of insanely old bottles.
He had a Weller 12 pick, really? Which I'd actually never seen before.
Oh, I've seen a few of them. Yeah, every year everyone brings special bottles, throws it on the table, and he'll hand pick a couple of somethings from his archive. And we had Cuban cigars all night. It was like the most pampering.
Yeah, so two Willets, two weird
old Willets,
7 year, once, eight, 16
yeah,
year.
Yeah, so Brown Foreman did some experimental mash bill stuff a few years back, and it wasn't to snuff. It wasn't to their preferred. So they sold off the stock to Brown Foreman or to Willett, and Willett bottled 16-year-old. Old Brown Foreman juice that is unbelievable, off the charts, better than anything that's being currently released. And if anyone is doing big bourbon right, it's Brown Foreman.
Yeah.
Brown Foreman, over the past 2 or 3 years, has made the best business decision every. I mean, Old Forester 1920, Old Forester, now they're doing barrel proof picks of Old Forester. I mean, everything they're doing is
even that rye product, the 4 year rye.
Early times, 100 really proof, good. Early times for $20, 1 liter bottle. Mm. I mean, I. Look, they're not sponsors of the show, but I couldn't be a bigger fan.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that bottle of cereal did, and I got so...
Emotional?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, because I remember being a kid, and like my grandpa just had
these old
ton
bottles.
Of old Wild Turkey, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just remember, you know, of course, a kid, I don't drink whiskey, but I remember seeing them, and then as I got older, you know, I would talk to my dad, my uncles, and be like, hey, well... You know, what were all those bottles that were like kind of like Wild Turkey, but didn't say Wild Turkey? I was like, yeah, it was Wild Turkey, like cheesy gold foil and all the decanters and all that stuff.
The split label, the old donuts, man. The traditions.
And I saw, you know, a couple of those in those pictures. I was just like, man. And I know Wade tells me all the time, he's like, dude, Dusty Hunting's just not what he used to be. You know?
No, he said it today.
They're all gone.
Post today.
Yeah. And he's like, everything's gone, you know, but... I did run across one decanter down south of like 78 Turkey, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I'll give a shout out to Lynchburg, Dry County. But if you go visit the Jack Daniel's distillery, there's a small, almost western type town just adjacent to the distillery. And in there, they sell antique porcelain shaped containers. What's in them, no one knows because it's a dry county.
Yeah.
But they are fully sealed.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Decanters of turkey-shaped bottles, right?
With liquid inside.
Could be water.
Could be water.
Milk. Who knows? Could be milk. Who knows? But they sell them, and they sell them a little pricey, $2.25. But they're still cheaper than what you'd buy online. So every time we go, I've been just bringing back a couple of turkey-shaped paperweights.
This guy that I bought it from, I went into his place and. Saw one on the shelf. I was like, man, would you ever, sell that? He's like, no, I'm going to hang on to that. He's like, but I might sell you one of the 10 cases I got in the back. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah. What?
Yeah, man, took me back there. He just had stacks of it.
Speaking of which, I wanted to point out that Jack Daniel's will be premiering a documentary that tells the history of Tennessee whiskey brand and its place in popular culture. Chasing Whiskey, The Untold Story of Jack Daniel's will air in theaters on May 11th for one night. It's like some like 800 theaters, which is pretty neat because there are a lot of bourbon documentaries coming out now. And yes, Jack Daniel's is bourbon. But I saw that in the news last night. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Oh, I do have a correction on last week. So we had a great discussion with Mike Raymond and our friend Morgan Weber to talk about terroir and spirits. That had a few people triggered. Morgan came prepared and gave a great example of three different products made at the same distillery on the same equipment with the same distiller. and how different they can be, because the only difference is the plants come from different areas. Mm-hmm. However, so caught up in the conversation, I missed the glaring obvious mistake, and that is that those are three different plants. Mm-hmm. So it's like saying the difference between Cabernet, you know, grapes, mm-hmm. And Merlot grapes, and like all these different yeah. grapes are. That's because they're different species of grapes, yeah. right? Or different subspecies or genus or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Yeah. But so Morgan's point, although it was interesting, doesn't quite once you think about it, doesn't quite flesh it out, because those are three different types of Sutol. So
yeah.
I listen. I'm willing to admit when we make a mistake, when we make a mistake, except to my wife. But I said I would address it on air. So.
Yeah. I listened to that last week, man. That was a freaking
I think it's possible.
Great podcast.
Basically, to summarize, it's possible to showcase terroir and spirits if it's the right distillation, or it's potentially possible. It hasn't been disproven. Mm-hmm. The right distillation proof. But it's, I think the only way you're really going to be able to tell the difference is in unaged spirits with the same ingredients.
Yeah,
based on different areas.
You think the oak is what kind of makes everything more...
It's such a variable, right? So with oak, it's such a variable. Even if you give the same specs to a barrel maker and you say, you know, I want this amount of air dry seasoning for the staves, this thickness, mm-hmm. this char, and this toast, even at the same barrel maker, depending on where it ages in the warehouse and its interaction with temperatures, it's going to vary. Mm-hmm. So if you really wanted to be able to taste the terroir and spirits, I would argue that you'd have to do the same controlled variables in an unaged spirit,
yeah,
and taste the difference. Same mash bill, same, you know, different ingredients, and make it only a regional yellow dent corn from this region versus this region,
right?
Or yeah. bloody butcher from this region versus this region, but same distillation proof. You'd have to make it to where that if there's a tasting difference, that it is all other things are equal in order mm-hmm. to prove yeah. it. So it's a bit more convoluted, and there's a lot of variables that are being ignored in calling something terroir. But
you have to be able to control literally every single thing,
which is the problem.
Yeah.
And with wine, it's so much more simpler.
Yeah.
So
because even with wood, like, I mean, surely there'll be a difference in like the trees that you get the wood from, and that's
sure.
something that you just
new
cannot
old,
control.
Old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the concept of terroir, at least, which is used in, I know people love to say it's a wine thing. It's not just a wine thing. It's dealt with in coffee, mm-hmm. Which again is really coffee's easy, right? It's just the roast, and then where it comes from.
Yeah, elevation plays a role.
But that's terroir,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So terroir talks about the entire environmental aspect of where something grows and how it integrates into the end product. So with distilled spirits, it's a bit more difficult to call because of lots of external factors.
Yeah. No, that was a fun episode to listen to.
All right. Week. That is fantastic. I want to mm-hmm. try your Glendronic. I also brought this, if you remember Space Cowboy we did last year, dropped last year, Armagnac, right? So we just released, which by the way, I've got our cognac with me.
Ooh.
Yeah, we can taste our cognac. I think people get caught up on names. People who are, you know, I'm an Elijah Craig drinker. My grandfather was a Beam drinker. There are so many great barrel-aged spirits out there that are just being explored outside people's comfort zones. We just did a cognac release Saturday. We released 70 cases to market, which is, 70 times 6? Do the math. It's not my job. It's my show.
420.
420. So there are about 20, maybe 30 bottles left to market, but in one day it was you know, damn near 400 bottles of cognac, which scared a lot of these stores because cognac's not a big seller anymore.
Right.
As we talked about in the Black Bourbon Society episode, we talked about how for years their spirits have been almost assigned to either gender or to race and marketed as such to the point that it is now been a detriment. And
so random too, you know.
Oh, completely random.
Why Hennessy?
What's the base?
Why cognac?
Sure. So Cognac and Armagnac have struggled, especially in markets. So as we said with Space Cowboy 1, the Armagnac barrel we did, that the second slowest moving category in spirits is Armagnac, right next to Grappa, and no one drinks that shit. So the Cognac barrel we did was fantastic. It was half the price, 23 years, 11 months, 2 weeks shy of 24 years old, and half the price of Space Cowboy at $91 plus tax. And we sold almost 400 bottles in a day.
Yeah,
so
which,
that's wild. Insane, yeah. Insane. We will be doing more, but we've also got this baby. So as you recognize from the orange wax, we did a something different from Lincantata. Not a single barrel, but in fact an XO blend. A couple years ago, Lincantata came to the state. You're welcome. And they did an XO release of four barrels, and I've got the blend of that. We tasted it this past weekend. We selected our favorite. This is one.
Yeah, that's not.
But the cork broke on two, so Okay. Now two's in there.
Oh, gotcha.
So I was willing to dump one because I like two so much, right? So this is one cask of Domaine del Casso 1985, 35 years old, right? One barrel of Domaine Belair 1997. 1989 from Domaine Parr and Domaine La Salle from 1987. So a couple 30-year-old barrels, three 30-year-old barrels, 30-plus-year-old barrels, and a younger barrel to brighten it up. And we loved it. It will be coming statewide distribution. We're working on label design with them now, but it'll be an XO blend available statewide at $100. That's our goal. Under $100, that's the goal.
Yeah.
I think for you to be able to taste some 30-plus-year-old spirits at under $100 is absolutely worth your time and attention. So,
and we compared this to a popular XO blend.
The first XO they did.
Yeah.
So we compared it to the first XO they released in blind, four of us, and this was preferred over the first. Mm-hmm. It is, I'm telling you folks, well, I'm only a Scotch drinker. I don't like bourbon. I don't like this. That's fine. I don't like stuffed bell peppers, but I'll still eat an enchilada. You know what I mean? Like that's, I don't rule out the entire Mexican food category just because one thing. My wife, for a long time, not my wife, my wife.
Not the girlfriend.
Yeah, well, not my girlfriend, not your girlfriend, not your wife. didn't like certain sushi because of the texture.
Yeah.
And we found, you know, the right thing, the right, and then of course once you get used to raw tuna, then you want to do sushi rolls and you want to do this,
sashimi,
you want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a fun category. And we've got lots of, man, so many great things are about to happen in the state right now.
And the value you get in spirits that aren't bourbon is amazing. You know, you're like the 23-year-old for under $100.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Even in scotch, bourbon, any whiskey is going to be three times as much or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you did a blend of a couple of 30-year-old bourbon barrels that were way over-oaked, definitely left
it would be a special edition that run like $2,000 or something like that.
And then if you were to throw in a young barrel just to balance it out, it's still not quite, I mean, you're still going to be paying out the butt for it.
Yeah.
Our rum, we have an update on the Foursquare rum.
Oh, yeah.
Those bottles are being sent to me. We will feature them on the show. It will be released this fall. Again, statewide exclusive around the $100 price. So very soon, for those who've been following the rum debate or the rum issue, we will be drinking the Foursquare blend that was set aside for the group that will be available in the state of Texas only, although I have a feeling like we will be seeing it being shipped out of Texas to a few people.
When it was first announced, people from all over the world were trying to add to HBS after the initial announcement.
Reddit blew up. There was a few Reddit posts. Yeah. Really? One guy, it blows my mind the amount of people who are so cynical and think they know what they're talking about, but they have no freaking clue. But this guy was like, I heard they pissed the importer off and all these things, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Well, and then Richard Seal, the owner of Foursquare, was like, it's happening. Relax. Like this is, I'm so excited for what we have coming down the pipeline that has nothing to do with bourbon or whiskey.
No, that's super awesome. This is great.
Though I love whiskey. All right, so you've got your Glendronic. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I told you, but we're doing gay shirts.
Gay shirts.
Yeah. So I thought it would be. I talked to a longtime friend of mine, childhood friend, who's in HBS, and currently, all of our shirts and merchandise for this show and HBS all benefit a veterans charity called Camp Hope in Houston. So when you buy stuff at whiskeymerch.com or hbsmerch.com for our bourbon group, the proceeds go to Camp Hope here in Houston. However, we thought it would be fun to do a version of our shirt, our logo, that was rainbow. And the proceeds of that will go to a charity here in Houston that benefits... okay, I need to look
LGBT this up. LGBT.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Correct. LGBTQ. we will be talking with Travis Nixon. We will be... He's worked with a few charities and raised money for them that we're going to be... If you buy this shirt, it'll go there. So,
cool.
Yeah. So, I think it'll be cool.
I see, and I thought you were going to make fun of my shirt because you always like to make fun of what I'm wearing.
I don't make fun of what you wear.
I had a really good comeback, too.
I think it's totally normal for a 40-year-old man to wear a backwards hat and they're in a podcast.
Super cool these days.
Yeah.
You skateboard, too?
I found this in your bedroom.
Where's your... I'm just surprised you don't wear braided bracelets, like with no watch, like a very Johnny Depp style.
Braided bracelets? I mean, yeah, I have a whole stack of them at home.
I did get to see Todd's house for the first time recently.
How was that? How'd that go?
Bro, the backwards hat is the tip of the iceberg of things that are not appropriate for a 40-year-old man to own.
Never grow up. Never grow up.
I agree. He's got like legitimately very expensive lightsaber collection. Todd. I can't believe I'm even saying this. I have one lightsaber.
I got it at Disney, and it's amazing.
So he's got some guitars. He's got a little Huffy bike hanging from
guitars.
The ceiling.
What kind of guitars you got, man?
He's obsessed with skulls, so there's like all these like skull things.
I wouldn't go that far. They're not skulls. I'm not obsessed.
The only thing missing is a black light just to kind of, you know, really play up the teenage.
You haven't been over at night. How do you know there's not a black light?
That alien holding the two joints saying, take two of these and call me in the morning, that every teenager had in the 90s.
Yeah. He's got a
It is a bar, so it has bar stuff. You know?
Yeah, his fourth floor, by the way. If you are wondering how much money I make on the show,
let's go,
worry
dude.
About okay. fucking Todd. But his fourth floor has a bathroom that has a secret compartment to a whiskey room.
Okay.
And the door to that bathroom is covered in band stickers.
Okay, Todd.
And by the way, I love Todd. Todd's my favorite person.
From Hot Topic. All those stickers are from.
Sure.
You didn't even get them at shows.
I've seen that meme where people are saying that there's a whole section of our population keeping Long John Silver's in business, and we need to find out who they are. There is one person in this room for all of the city of Houston that's keeping Hot Topic in business.
Yeah.
And that's freaking
you're doing it, dude.
Todd Grube.
Congrats.
You know you love it.
Hey, I love it just fine.
I had
a great time at your house.
Four stories. Huh?
I appreciate that your mom let us hang out while she was
trying
home.
To throw the mom jokes back. Chris loves mom jokes, but I don't even know if I want to say the sad thing is that my mom died of cancer.
Did she really?
Yeah, I've told you that, and he just keeps telling the joke over and over every time I say that.
I did not know.
He's choosing
at least it was a long time ago.
Your mom really
like
died of cancer? Is that like the joke
ago?
Where... Dude, there's this guy I work with. I don't know if I've told this on the show, Jack, you'd remember, but there's a guy I work with. His name, well, he doesn't work there anymore, but his name was Benjamin Hayes, Ben Hayes, and we were arguing at work about something, jokingly, and I go, ugh, go kill yourself.
Whoops.
And he was like, hey, man, I know you don't know this. he said, but my... He said, but my mom, my dad, and my sister all committed suicide. So I thought he was joking because it's so outlandish. And, you know, I come from the generation where your mom jokes were always met with, oh, my mom's dead. So you would make them feel bad for telling a your mom joke.
Cut it. And wait, no. So cut it. I don't want to do this.
And so I doubled down. On what he said, and I was like, well, if you're my son...
Chris.
So listen, it's fine because enough time has passed. I said, well, if you're my son or brother, I'd kill myself too. Oh, God. God, it was so... And we were friends. And
he's going to have to explain to his bosses why they're still sponsors.
No. So me and Ben are friends, and he reacted well. And since then, it's been about 5 years, but when I started flirting with the idea of doing stand-up and doing open mics with a few places, he specifically told me that he's like, you should tell that story on air because I think it's really funny. And we laugh about it now, but in the moment,
there's your pass. I was waiting for like, how does this come around so that it's acceptable?
Yeah, he gave me the pass, but I felt so bad. And listen, if anyone sticks their foot in their mouth often, it's me. But it's not my fault. I didn't have a dad. Okay, we'll be right back after this. Just for the record, I want to make sure it's clear. I'm not making fun of suicide. It was so outlandish to me. It was so crazy to hear this story from a friend I thought I knew pretty well that I just thought it had to be him razzing me back. Like, I thought he had to be calling my bluff a little bit. And listen, I'm not good at poker. So I went all in, and it worked out.
That's comedy.
That's what I think. That's what I love about comedy is the accidental hilariousness. There's another guy I work with who he still works there. Great guy, but we were talking about how bad our dental plan is. At the time, he was in his 20s. And he said, yeah, especially if your teeth are fake. I'm like, you're in your 20s. I've seen him. His teeth look as good as yours.
Thanks.
Not yours. And
sorry.
And he told me they're all fake.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's what happened. Car accident. Yeah. You know, was it Bert Kreischer? Did you get hit in the mouth with a bat? What's going on? And he goes, well, I just met the guy. So I met him during a smoke break, and he was just telling me that he hated our dental plan because all of his teeth are fake. So I have 1,000 questions. And I asked the guy, what happened? And he said, well, I had a real problem with coke. And I was like, whoa, like, we just met, we're in a professional environment, you're talking about coke. I'm all of a sudden making a ton of judgments about you. And he goes, yeah, I was drinking 7 2-liters a day. And I thought, holy shit. You know what's worse than losing all your teeth to cocaine? Losing all your teeth to Coca-Cola. The moment I have a tooth that broke, I would immediately stop drinking. Like, the moment the dentist is like, hey, you're rotting your teeth, you have to stop, I would stop. He got to a point where he just said, just pull them all out, I'll start over.
I don't need them all.
They were all implants.
Oof.
He spent like $40,000 to get a whole new mouth. And by the way, he looked like you. Super thin, 160 pounds? Yeah, 170 pounds. Normal size guy. Full-blown diabetes. Guess why?
Oh, all the Coke.
All the Coke.
Yeah.
7 2-liters a day of Coca-Cola to the point that you developed like permanent diabetes. It wasn't fat. Permanent diabetes. And
it's an addiction. I have a friend who used to come over with a 12-pack. It was Diet Coke. But I was still like, bro, you're going to drink all that? We're only hanging out for a couple hours.
Yeah, yeah. So... it was a really interesting experience, and this is where Heaven Hill's calling me.
The president's calling me.
Yeah, well, the local rep.
Hold on, Justin Timberlake's calling.
For the record, I apologize profusely to Ben and sat there in awe of this other guy. Just the hearing that story is just crazy, dude. My current day job, our aviation company we work for. Hires the most fascinating people. One of our good friends at work, he was raised in a foster home. His wife of 20-something years, they were high school sweethearts, stayed married, have one kid together. His wife was the result. She was born into a family in which her mother was a mail-order bride. Fascinating.
When you're done this story, I have a great story about murder I want to tell, too.
Well, do you really? No. The stories are too crazy?
Almost not believable, but I want to hear how this turns out.
Yeah, so, and that's what I'm saying. It's the whole, this world, the people you meet over drinks and the things you find out are pretty fascinating. My story last year was crazy. This story was crazy. And anyway, so her mom was a mail-order bride from Southeast Asia because her dad was into mineral rights. He would travel the world. And then when it didn't work out, go figure, the mother and dad still lived together but would date other people. Just a fascinating, fascinating childhood. Then her dad, greatest guy in the world, super nice guy, got arrested for trying to hire an assassin to kill her mom. Like, it was just this crazy... Whoops. Crazy story of And they couldn't be more normal. They love their daughter. I've actually talked about them before on the show. Should I change the subject? Everyone feels it's so uncomfortable.
These hiring an assassin stories are always
like movies. This sounds like you're telling me the plot of movies.
Yeah. Well, I've been working there for about 10 years, and over time you get to know people. Yeah. You hear parts of them you would never expect.
Yeah,
I've met you. I know you pretty well. I know that your
tall
Facebook photos are great. Like your wedding photos were off the charts. Yeah. I know you're in a happy marriage.
Yeah.
You're in a happy marriage. Todd's also married. And
stop it.
I'm just kidding.
Todd's happily not married. Funny.
Todd's happily married.
Jenny is so busy with work all the time that I've joked with people who I've hung out with for a long time that never got to meet her, and they're always like, "When am I going to get to meet your wife?" And I'm like, "She's just really busy."
She laughed at me the other day for ordering. We went to 8 Row Flint, and I think I told the story last
week.
Margarita? Right. I ordered a frozen gin and tonic, and she laughed at me. She thought, I ordered a frosé, which I drink whiskey neat all the time. I love, no pun intended, I love straight spirits. But when we went to lunch the other day at 8 Row Flint, all of you guys ordered, I'll take a Russell's Reserve pick or whatever, and everyone's drinking whiskey neat. And she comes around to me, and I say, I'll have a frosé. And his wife couldn't contain her laughter because she thought I was joking. And I was like, what? And she's like, oh, you're serious. Like, immediate judgment into my masculinity.
Hey, drink what you like.
Yeah,
dude. And that frozen gin and tonic, man.
But I used to tell people that I wanted some of my friends to tell my new friends that, hey, had Todd tell you about his wife? I mean, do you know what happened to his wife? And then act like she actually died, and I pretend that she's still alive. Because they never saw her, and they would come to my house, not there. There's pictures, but she's not there.
They thought you were delusional. They were just so dark. They just gaslit you into thinking that your wife was still, and you're like, she's still here in your heart. I know.
Right, yeah.
She's with all of us.
Yeah, just don't mention it to him.
Where's your wife? She'll be back. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
She's coming right back.
Oh, that's the dump glass. All right, so I wanted to try this XO blend. That scotch is fantastic. Glendronic makes some of the best, man.
It really is.
The only thing I hate about this bourbon hobby, there's a few things I hate about this bourbon hobby, but when the Facebook groups developed their love for bourbon, it created a market for it. And when the bourbon zeitgeist discovers a spirit outside their realm that's just as good or appeals to bourbon drinkers, and of course the prices shoot up. Glendronic is one of them. These Glendronic casks used to be super easy to find, super common, and the moment the bourbon drinkers, by the way, if you are a bourbon drinker and you were trying to get into scotch, I will make a great recommendation, and that is Glendronic. Now, this is a single barrel. It's particularly old, particularly expensive, but you can pick up quite commonly for the sub $60-$70 range some really, really good Glendronic that will appeal, if you're a bourbon drinker, introduce you to scotch. Same thing about Glenfiddich 14 Bourbon Cask Reserve. Same thing with Glenmorangie. They do a great thing with their La Quinta. La Quinta, so funny.
No, it's good.
Quinta Ruban. when I had them on, he was telling me it's pronounced Quinta, like La Quinta, the hotel. So, of course, I screwed that up.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Glendronic, the reason I like it, is the sherry. I mean, that's kind of how I made the bridge from bourbon to scotch, is a sherry finish. It's a little sweeter, not as smoky or peaty.
Sure. I'm a huge fan of this. We tried this, the Deanston last week. This is finished in a beer barrel, but it's peated. Really? Totally unexpected that it was fantastic. They also do...
It's so light.
I haven't had much Deanston.
It says unpeated.
I have a Deanston that I got.
This is definitely
Deanston.
Smoking.
It's awesome.
Where are they getting the smoke from?
Yeah. It's a lot cheaper, too. Yeah.
It says unpeated, but I distinctly... We talked about it last week.
What's the age on that? Like 10? 8?
Looks light. I'm wondering, did we open this last
week? Does that label say milk on it?
Yeah, so Dragon's Milk is a barrel-aged stout. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see Dragon's. I just saw milk, and I was like, oh, that's cool. It's aged in a milk bottle.
It is unpeated. I wonder what we tasted last week that threw my... Was it this I poured in their glasses? Interesting.
Remember you said you poured something in a glass and you kept...
Yeah, we kept talking about when we broke it open and poured it last week for Morgan and Mike, and didn't realize that what we were drinking was peated, and it caught me off guard. And I'm thinking we might have conflated that. That's unpeated. But I've talked about the three indicators of a clear sign of a better spirit before, without ever tasting it, and that is a bump in proof, unchill filter, no added color. Those are three dead giveaways that there's a bit more care put behind the product. Deanston does this. These are those $60 price range Deanstons, and if you're into Scotch, they're young, but they're definitely, I think, a great example of good Scotch.
Y'all are going over to Scotland, right, later this year?
Yeah, July?
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. I think we're aiming for August. Mm. I'm going to shoot our friend Sam Hewen a message and see if he's in town. We talked about it after our episode about potentially him joining us. So we will be going to Scotland to visit a couple distilleries to pick out some barrels. Yeah. And if he's available, I think he would have a good time.
Yeah.
All right.
This is good.
Oh, man, this has been fun. Every once in a while we get to shoot the shit on the show, and I appreciate you guys coming on.
Dude, yeah.
For those who are able to make it tomorrow, there are tickets available on Eventbrite. The trip to Waco is going to be an all-day affair in which we take over the distillery, and we plan to taste through a few single barrels, do a few tours, eat, drink, be merry. I think there's going to be a bottle share there where everybody kind of brings something fun and maybe something old. And yeah.
Raffle.
Just, yeah.
And get raffle tickets. There's going to be some cool stuff getting
raffled off. Yeah, the Balcones Distilling Instagram. I finally found the Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah? I didn't go look.
There's a video of a pan of bottles, and you have to kind of look at what's in the background.
Yeah. Oh, sure? Yeah. What was the Easter egg?
Don't tell.
Well, this is going to drop Friday, right?
Yeah. So
the day before, they'll have one day notice.
Yeah.
No?
Nah.
Okay. All right. You got it.
I promise you they'll like it better if they don't know.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So check it out. Go to Eventbrite. I would love to see you guys in Waco. I will be there. My wife will be there. My loving wife. You'll get there, bud. And yeah. Without further ado, I don't know why I did that, and that's the intro. Yeah, so thanks for coming on, guys. Thanks for hanging out. Charlie, good seeing you, bud. Yeah. Love you, Todd.
Good to see you guys.
Love you, Todd.
Balcones' first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.